I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché! Chris Roebling, Kitty Kurthin for Dave Lundy tonight. We're going to have some fun arguing about national politics, Republican and Democrat. Ding, ding.
Welcome, Kitty.
Welcome, Kitty.
Thank you, Christopher.
Into the Roebling Dome, as we say, right?
The Thunderdome of right. Political conversation.
That's right.
Welcome.
It was Touche or Thunderdome.
Mondays at 7:20.
All right, we could start by talking about the breaking news that the president disinvited the Philadelphia Eagles and pretty much called them unpatriotic, which is interesting because they are they're from Philadelphia and they are the Eagles, which they're essentially.
I think they're pretty much the definition of patriotism in the National Football.
But I don't know what we're going to, I don't know if we need to toss that around. Why don't we start with the pardon stuff today? Really interesting over the weekend, Rudy Giuliani. Getting on the Sunday talk shows, but then also the president saying that, you know, he has the right to pardon himself. Then when they followed up with that with the press office, they said, well, he's done nothing wrong, so we don't even have this conversation.
Well, that would probably be my first question. What does he need to pardon himself for? Could you elaborate, Mr. President? But I think the most interesting thing is all these guys. And I say, guys, it's
yeah,
probably
what are you,
women.
Hey,
too.
Hey.
Sorry, Chris.
Hey,
sorry,
you're
Chris.
Dividing America
there
again.
It's
balkanization.
There are many people who somehow forget that everything's on videotape. And if it's not on videotape, it's on audio tape. And it's if it's not on audio tape, it's in
writing,
an archive
right.
on a website somewhere. And what you said 20 years ago is out there, not to mention what you said 20 minutes ago.
What did he say about pardoning himself 20 years ago?
He probably said the same thing. As we know from Twitter, a simple retweet can get you a lot of hypocrisy from the president.
He said, I pardon myself for promising you a 4-bedroom apartment, but giving you a 3-bedroom apartment. I pardon myself.
But what do you make of this? Because what the president is actually saying, talk about what he's inferring, the idea that he didn't do anything wrong.
He talked about Clinton. Pardoning himself.
He has essentially called this investigation a sham.
It is a sham and a travesty of a sham.
He is saying that because of that, he'll pardon himself because he doesn't believe in this justice
system. I know.
This
is so goofy. I mean, look, the guy is goofy. I've said that forever. And this is one of his goofier cul-de-sacs into which he's driven himself. And now he's going around and around. I even think Giuliani was wrong to entertain this line of conversation with the estimable Democrat bootlicker Stephanopoulos.
I think Giuliani, joking aside, I think Giuliani has slowed down a few steps, and I think it's kind of like you can't make fun of someone when they are going into their aging years and
oh come on, what is
stuff.
Ageism now? First it was the guys, now
Do
it's
you
ageism.
Think that Rudy Giuliani is just making this stuff up. I almost swore.
You almost swore. I told you not to.
Yeah, yeah. We were talking about that earlier. I'm supposed to hit her.
He's just
told
making
me hit
this.
Me.
I told you you could.
I'm not going to hit you.
Is he just making
He's not
this
making
stuff
it up. Rudy
or is
Giuliani,
he losing his memory?
In my humble opinion, Rudy Giuliani is the first really experienced courtroom litigator to grab hold of this gnarly issue, which is so screwed up. It's way past Sunday. And I think that generally he's been, after a rocky start, doing pretty well, okay, to give the president's side.
I watch him a lot. He's unhinged.
I don't think that he is unhinged, but I think that he should not have gone down this road with Stephanopoulos. But this is not the big point. The point is the FBI spied on a political adversary I let you talk. The point here is the FBI, without a predicate, or with a predicate that they're so embarrassed about they won't disclose to the rest of us, they went ahead and spied on the Trump campaign, and now they're trying to say that it was all about the Russians, but they didn't spy on the Hillary campaign, and nor did they sit down with either Hillary or Trump, and what they should have done immediately on hearing about this Russian plague or whatever, they should have gone to both campaigns and said, there's a Russian plague coming this way. Both of you have got to be really sensitive. Everybody's got to be tested.
You're absolutely right. Could we talk about what actually happened? As soon as they saw that Russian hackers were trying to hack into both campaigns, they went to both campaigns and said, this is happening. The Democrats and the DNC did not take them seriously, to their detriment. They should have. We saw what happened.
I appreciate the fact you say that. Lundy would never admit that.
But you are better than Lundy. The guy from the DNC says the FBI called me three times. I didn't believe it was really the FBI.
But what Kitty's saying is that they did do exactly what you said they didn't.
Now, going further,
hold on.
There was a man named Professor Halber.
Stephen Halper.
Yes. Who
son-in-law of Ray Klein, friend of mine from my days at Georgetown.
Did not go into the Trump campaign. He did not work for the Trump campaign.
Right.
He was not a spy in the Trump campaign. he had meetings with Carter Page and Pop.
I just want to say, I am an expert.
Can I finish?
Go ahead.
We kind of need to go back to kindergarten here, both of us. But he had conversations with these people. He reported on those conversations to his handlers. He was never inside the campaign.
Okay.
He was not paid by the campaign. He did not work in the campaign.
Okay.
There was no spy in the campaign. Donald Trump is making things up to try to play to his audience, and they fall for it.
Discredit on that investigation, Chris?
Well, I think that the investigation, frankly, is discrediting itself. And I think the more these guys refuse to disclose the documents that are at the actual start. Now, bear in mind, this just real quick, I know we got to go to break, but let's just observe, Kitty, for a moment, that for 60 or 70% of 2017, the story was that this thing started when we had the file, the dossier, come into the ambit and the awareness of the FBI. And in December, the New York Times ran a very in-depth story saying that was a misapprehension. That's not when it started. It actually started when Papadopoulos was overheard in a drunken stupor at a bar in London by this guy who was an Australian diplomat and of rank and all this, saying things about dirt with the Russians on Hillary, okay? And that became the official, that became the DNC talking point. It started with Papadopoulos. Now we know, because of the lies and the refusal to disclose and the non-transparency of the Clapper-Comey era, what we know now is that they had Stephen Halper. Kitty doesn't want to say spying. I watch The American, so I'm an expert on spying, and I can tell you he was spying on these guys. And this happened long before the Papadopoulos thing. One other thing, of course, the New York Times never disclosed, that the guy from Australia who listened to Papadopoulos is, in fact, a closest friend of Bill and Hillary Clinton ever invented and gave $25 million to the Hillary Clinton Foundation.
All right. I think the more that we find out about the Mueller investigation and the more that we follow the money, we are going to find out that probably our Justice Department did have their eyes on Trump a lot longer than they admit now, because of his financial dealings and because of his money laundering for the Russians, going back to all of the money that he's put into his golf courses over the last 10 years and the money before that. We've now found out there's ties between the guy he sold his house, one of the houses in Palm Beach, to, and the people that were at the Trump Tower meeting, and the UAE and the Saudis.
It just keeps going. I can tell you both. I can tell.
I can't even make up.
You guys are
awesome.
You guys are awesome because you both. I can tell you both have scanned your feeds on the internet from.
I'm telling you,
both your right and left.
Excuse me one second. I gotta look during the break. I gotta pull it up. Hold on one second.
I've gotta tell you a
story. Kitty Kurth, Chris Roebling in studio. We're doing Touché tonight. We'll come back. Continue. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what you said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché.
You go right, you go right, you go left, you go right, you go right, you go right.
Hey, it's the Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Touché, Chris Roebling, Kitty Kurth in for Dave Lundy tonight. We decided to pass. We should. I feel like With Touche, we got to get more buzzers and game show type things. We can pass on topics. We can do all sorts of fun
little alligator to come out of the roof when you say the magic phrase.
Maybe you could get like an extra credit.
Yeah. Right.
And then if you pass on it, you have to give your opponent
a point. There's a lot. I really feel like I'm dropping the ball. I need to get much more.
Politicalopoly.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Politicalopoly. We'll be rich.
I don't know if you remember this.
Rich.
We did Aldermania. We did a game show at City Hall.
Okay. All right. All right.
I don't know if you remember, but
I would. Let's bring Aaron back. Aaron comes on the show once in a while.
Yeah, good. But we could do a Touche.
Yeah. We're working on it.
At the new studio, are we going to get to see beautiful dogs like this walking by?
No.
They'll just be miniature.
They are really cute little animals.
All right. Let's talk. We passed on the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's talk about the Supreme Court ruling today that was passed down about the case of the Colorado baker the case is very narrow. It's a surprising case because
it's important.
Is it important, or did the Supreme Court decide the important part was not going to be talked about?
This is not. It is important because we've got seven justices of the Supreme Court decrying the behavior of this administrative panel in the state of Colorado. Yep. On which there were commissioners, and there are two steps at this panel. There's an administrative law judge who holds a hearing, takes evidence, and then reads and applies the law. That's the lower branch of this. And the higher branch is the actual commission sitting on its own and discussing whether or not to accept the results given by the administrative law judge. In that deliberation, and there were at least two, maybe three meetings of the commission, a couple of its members made, in the view of seven justices, this is not rolling right-wing lunatic. Yeah, yeah.
According to Nina Totenberg, it was one person,
there are seven judges on the Supreme Court saying there was a blatant hostility towards religion itself and
absolutely
towards the origin of these beliefs.
But here's my question, Chris.
That has to be held
absolutely
up
I think
as an
everybody,
important...
I think everybody will recognize that. But the issue that's at play here is that this case was much more about... It was about something different, and the Supreme Court essentially punted on what they... They did it all about the commissioners.
Don't say punting when you're talking about the facts that actually make it up. I mean, this is a case that had to be decided on its own. And this is where you get this whole thing about judicial activism. If you can resolve the case on this issue, then do so... And send it back down, and maybe those guys will learn their lesson.
But it was resolved essentially on a First Amendment issue, which I think many people, if you don't go and read it or listen to somebody, an expert, analyze it, you might think it's about something very...
It's about discrimination or...
About.
Yeah, right.
And I'm all about, you know, supporting the First Amendment. I'm very clear on that. But this case seemed like... It was going to be about the First Amendment for totally different issues than it ended up being.
The question
I don't think it really resolved any of the religion issues.
And the seven justices say clearly that there is a lot more to come on this balancing. And we're talking about the balancing between the... accommodation rule, which is if you're in the public realm and you're offering your services or goods to the public, you've got to treat everybody equally. Okay, that's essentially what that is. And then you have the conscience rule, the conscience exception, so to speak. Broadly, it's not really a technical term, but you've got people who believe, wait a minute, I don't want to violate my own beliefs by selling my wares or my services to people who do differently.
Right.
Okay. That's a very thorny and complex issue, but you're never going to get to that resolution, Kitty, if you can't conduct a neutral and fair hearing in the first place. And therefore, this was the wrong case to decide the big issue.
That's exactly right. Everybody's in agreement. This is the wrong case
issue. We already decided public accommodations back in the 60s. I mean, that's over and done and set law. And if you walk into my coffee shop and I don't like the color shirt you're wearing or the hat you're wearing, I still have to sell you coffee. If I'm going to sell it to Justin, I have to sell it to Chris.
Well, we've seen lately, I mean, there was that place, I don't know, in Portland where they told all the Republicans to leave, or somebody came in with
wrong.
A...
That's wrong.
I know it is wrong.
That's ridiculous.
And the other thing I believe, and I think
Except I'm a total hypocrite, because at Kurth Lampe, I will say we only work for clients we want to work for. No one has ever forced me.
I'm sure there's some kind of exception that belongs.
And given me money. But I'm just saying, like, if I had a different kind of business,
right.
if it wasn't I might feel different.
But I want to say there's a point here about rampant and, in my opinion, doctrinaire and indeed radical secularism. And that's what we heard from this individual or individuals, to grant Nina her point. You know, the majority, seven justices think it was two, at least two. Maybe it's only one, as Nina says. Who knows? But regardless, rampant and radical secularism should not be given a hold in the official workings of our judicial system. In other words, people should not be penalized or detrimented for having religious beliefs.
Unless it's discrimination. Because then otherwise you get back to the thing where people, as Kitty just said.
Public accommodation.
I think we'll wrap it here, because the issue is, I think we all recognize that the one thing that I think makes it political is that we will see, and we all need to be articulate about it, right? We all need to be conscious that there will be media and there will be activists that will say, this is a blow, this is a win, this is a loss, we want to raise money off of this stuff. But it really is a narrow issue that the Supreme Court bounced out. They don't want to deal with it.
Such an interesting, narrow decision that everybody is going to raise money off this issue. Both sides are going to use this to raise money.
Chris Roebling, Kitty Kurth, touche tonight. Great to see both of you. Thanks for being
touché.
Here.
Touche.